Neil. Any other staff here? Linda, Pat, Steve. I call to meeting, call to order the public hearing for the Austin Community College District Service Plan for the San Marcos Consolidated School District on Thursday, July 15th at 6:45 p.m. pursuant to Chapter 551, the Open Meeting Act of the Texas Government Code. Good evening and welcome. Welcome to our public hearing here in St. Marcus Consolidated School District. I am Alan Kaplan. I am the Vice Chairman of the Board of Trustees for ACCD. And I'd like to introduce my fellow trustees who are on the dais here with me this evening. I'll start over on my far left, your far right, Trustee Dr. Vic Villarreal. Vic, you stand. Next to me on my left, your right, is Trustee Dr. James McGuffey. On my far right is Trustee Guadalupe Sosa. And next to her is the Board Secretary, John Michael Cortez, Trustee Cortez. And seating to my immediate right is the President CEO of the district, Stephen Kinslow. My job here at the start of this public hearing is to go over the process for this evening and let you know how the evening's going to progress. First, we're going to have some background information about the college and about why we're here. And then we'll have the service plan portion of the discussion, and then we invite citizen input to the board. This is not a discussion between the citizens and the board. The board will not respond. We're here to listen to what citizens have to say. Then, in order to do that, we ask that you have signed up the sign-in sheet, and I have the sign-in sheet here, and I have 14 speakers. I'll give one last chance for anybody who hasn't signed to do so. If I don't see anybody, we will have 14 speakers. The guidelines for public comment, as I said, you have to sign up. And according to the generally accepted rules for public institutions, speakers will have 3-minute time limit. Trustee Sosa on my far right has a timing mechanism that will show you green, yellow, and red for the 3 minutes. You may speak from either the podium, if that makes you comfortable, or from the microphone that's in the middle aisle. The time is not transferable to other speakers. Trustees, are here to listen, and we want to engage in dialogue. Trustees and the president will, however, remain after the meeting adjourns to visit with you and have dialogue at that point. The next slide will show you the ACC district service area. All the counties, the 8 counties in blue, are in our state-mandated service area. The green portion of the map in the middle there are the school districts and the city of Austin, which currently belong to the taxing district. And that includes, I'll try to remember, city of AISD, Austin Independent School District, the Leander Independent School District, the Manor Independent School District, the Del Valle Independent School District, the Round Rock Independent School District, and all the corporate limits of the city of Austin, which goes into some of the Pflugerville School District and some of the Eanes School District. Also on that map, if you get a copy of it, it'll be easy to see. You'll see where our campuses are currently located, and then you'll also see where there are centers that are in our service area but are not full campuses. There are two such centers in the San Marcos area. The background information. Various San Marcos CISD leaders have explored higher education and training needs for the San Marcos CISD. They created a petition process where the state law requires 5% of the registered voters who were registered at the previous governor's election, which in this case would have been 2006, they would have to require 1,177 signatures were required in order to have a valid petition. Nearly 2,200 signatures were turned in. They were certified by the San Marcos, by Hays County election official, and returned to the ACC board, and the board certified those petitions at our June meeting. Annexation endorsements have come from the Texas State University San Marcos Association Student Government and the San Marcos City Council and the Partners for Progress / Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy Action to establish a complete ACC district campus in Greater San Marcos. The notice of the service plan and this public hearing was posted June 13th and July 11th. And in our August board meeting, at our regular August board meeting, I believe that is the 6th, is that correct?
So.
No, the 6th is a Friday.
It's the first Monday.
The first Monday in August, which I guess is the 2nd, will be our regular meeting, at which time the board anticipates calling the public election. That election would take place on November 2nd, 2010, along with the general election, the state general election. Okay, what will San Marcos get by joining the ACC district? We will go over this in pretty much in detail, the president will, but summarize, we will compare the out-of-district status, which San Marcos CISD has right now, to the in-district status, which would occur if the election was successful after annexation. We'll identify what San Marcos residents will receive from ACC, both curriculum and training, student support services, facilities, and how you, as members of the taxing district, become involved in board governance, being able to vote for the board, run for the board, serve on the board. Then we will identify the fiscal implications for students, for taxpayers, and to ACC. If the election is successful, what does in-district mean? It means that San Marcos CISD would be joining the regional ACC district. Community colleges are funded differently than four-year colleges and universities, and Dr. Kinzel will help explain that. The state-mandated mission for community colleges is much broader and very much more diverse than the four-year institutions that many of us are familiar with. The state requires community colleges to have local taxing support to fund facilities and operations. And to gain a comprehensive community college campus in any district, and specifically the ACC district, requires a local revenue stream. With that introduction, I will hand the microphone over to Dr. Kinzlow, the president and CEO of the Austin Community College District. Steve.
Thank you, Alan, and my thanks to all of you for being here this evening. I'm going to go through these slides as quickly as possible because we want to have most of the time to hear from you this evening. There will be copies of this available to you on your way out, and they'll also be available as a PDF format online. The first is to talk about the mission of community colleges. Alan Kaplan mentioned that community colleges have a different mission than four-year colleges and universities. That mission is mandated by the state. You see the four core mission elements on this slide. The first and the one that people are most familiar with is the academic transfer function, where folks come to community colleges to get the first 2 years of four-year baccalaureate education. We also, through academic transfer, have large programs with independent school districts that we call Early College Start, and I'll talk about that in a little bit. The other mission element is workforce education, where community colleges are typically the first institutions of higher education to respond to changes in the local job market and to create the kinds of certificate and degree programs that respond to what is happening in the labor market. The third mission element is what we call foundation programs. These are developmental reading, writing, and math. It's adult basic education, English as a second language, and GED. So there are programs that help take people who are not yet college ready, who are not able to meet the assessment cutoff scores for college level instruction, but who need to be made college ready so that they can succeed in getting additional education and become part of the future workforce. And then the fourth is lifelong learning, which is more familiarly known as continuing education. It also includes customized training for business and industry and a lot of professional development emphasis. The next slide I'm not going to go over in great detail. The intent of this is to simply illustrate the breadth of options that Austin Community College provides. We have over 235 degree and certificate options responding to a wide range of career fields and also personal interest. Over 100 of those are in workforce education areas. Within the workforce education areas, we also have over 90 workforce certificates, which can be completed in 1 year or less and lead people to jobs that pay quite well in a wide variety of fields. I've already talked about customized training for business and industry. We also deliver our instruction days, evenings, weekends, and also through distance learning. The next slide is just a quick overview of enrollments from Hays County from last fall, and then the next two are the two specific zip code areas in San Marcos. And the column on the right indicates the percentage increase over the last 5 years for Hays County, nearly 41% from the 78666 zip code, nearly 25%, and 78667, 82%. And that just simply reflects what you already know, which is your community is growing and it's going to continue to grow. The next slide is a brief overview of the partnerships that are in place with the San Marcos Consolidated Independent School District. We have a program that we call Early College Start that is actually three programs under an umbrella term. All of them, of course, provide opportunities for high school students to earn college-level credit prior to exiting from high school. The research shows that students who get that kind of experience are twice as likely as a student who doesn't to graduate and also to enter higher education. Those are offered at your Phoenix Academy and also at San Marcos High School. One of those Early College Start programs is known as Tech Prep. Those are actually articulated career workforce education programs that begin at the ninth grade level. Students graduate from high school, come to the college, and then are awarded college credit that they have banked in escrow while they were in high school. Our College Connection program is a nationally recognized program that also won a state award from the Texas Higher Education Coordinating Board. That is a program that started in San Marcos. It originated here. That's something that is near and dear to our hearts here. The College Connection program basically is an exporting of all college enrollment services, outreach and enrollment services, from admissions to counseling, advising, assessment, et cetera, where we take it on the road, bring it directly to students, and provide one-on-one assistance. When your students graduate and walk across the stage to get their high school diploma, they also get an acceptance letter to Austin Community College as a result of the College Connection program. We're involved in working with your school district in what the state refers to as P16 initiatives, which are part of the statewide effort to help eliminate the gap in skill levels between high school curriculum and higher ed curriculum, so that hopefully over time fewer numbers of students will be in those access or foundation skills programs. And then finally, of course, we operate two centers, which I think you're aware of, the San Marcos Center offering evening classes, and here at the Goodnight Center offering daytime classes. We just recently started an automotive technology program in cooperation with your school district. A lot of times people ask what happens after communities come into the district, and Mr. Kaplan shared with you a large number of communities that have gone through the same process that your community is going through and have successfully annexed to the college. This chart shows you in Del Valle Independent School District, which joined ACC, not to get a campus, but to get the lower in-district tuition rates. They joined the district in May of 2004, the first fall semester after annexing. Their enrollments went up 56%. Two falls after annexing, they went up 109%, simply illustrating that access to higher education at a lower cost brings many more people who need to go into higher education to do so. Round Rock is the second example. Round Rock, of course, is getting a campus through having annexed into the district. That campus will open next month. However, even before getting their expanded menu of programs and services, they also have experienced enrollment increases from 33% to 76%. The bottom chart is simply a conservative estimate, assuming that San Marcos, if it has a successful election, would be no different than Del Valle or Round Rock, but taking the lowest increase of 33%, we would expect to be at well over 1,300 students by the second semester following annexation. In terms of tuition, the most immediate effect of annexing into the community college district is an overnight reduction of the tuition rate by 72%. Our in-district tuition rate is $42 per credit hour. The out-of-district rate is $150 per credit hour. So you can see a $108 difference there, 72% higher for out-of-district tuition. The chart at the bottom is simply an illustration of the average cost for 2 years of education or the equivalent of an associate degree. At Austin Community College, the in-district tuition rate would be just under $3,500. At Texas State, it would be just under $16,000. At UT Austin, it would be just under $19,000. And an average private two-year education in the state of Texas is slightly more than $41,000. So community colleges represent a tremendous economic advantage to students. The obvious question is, what is the tax impact for joining a community college district, and what does the community college get out of it as well? This chart indicates our tax rate is 9 cents. Our maintenance and operations, as Mr. Kaplan said, community colleges by law must assess a local tax in order to build facilities and to operate those facilities. So ours is at 9 cents. That is capped. It cannot be increased without the approval of all the taxpayers in district. Our tax rate has been changed. The tax cap has been changed only once in the history of the college. We started with a 5 cent authorization and a cap at 5 cents. Our voters, in recognition of the growth of the college and the growth of Central Texas, approved an increase in 2003. I think we are probably the only taxing entity that can make the statement that its cap has changed only once. Our general obligation bond debt is retired through 0.0046, so less than one half of one penny. Those general obligation bonds operate similarly to your school district bonds, in which voters approve bonds to build new facilities or expand, and you retire them through a general obligation bond. ACC has the most generous senior citizen exemption and disabled individuals exemption in Central Texas. It's $110,000 before seniors or disabled see any effect on their taxes. Our agricultural property rates are recognized by ACC just as the state approves those. Listed in the last bullet is a summary of the current tax rates for the city of San Marcos, for Hays County, and for the San Marcos Consolidated ISD. That total tax rate of $2.31 has declined over the past 6 years. And at the very bottom, again, is the summary of ACC's tax rate, the 9 cents, again, which is capped and can't be changed without voter approval, and the 0.0046 for retirement of bonds. Last year, our tax rate was 0.0954, so it went down slightly. This current year, the next year's tax rate will be set at our September board meeting once the tax appraisers do the final confirmation of the tax rolls. The next slide answers the question, what does ACC get when communities come in? And specifically, this shows the total taxable property values for all properties within the boundaries of San Marcos Consolidated Independent School District, a little over $3.3 billion at our 9 cent rate. If you were in the district and looked only at the 9 cent rate, it would be $2.9 million in tax revenue to the college. However, we have to minus out the loss of out-of-district tuition revenue because of the reduction from out-of-district to the much lower in-district rates. And so the net increased revenue to the college based on your current property tax revenues would be a little over $1.4 million. The next slide is simply a chart that shows property valuations from $40,000 up to $320,000. The second column indicates with the regular $5,000 homestead exemption what the ACC tax would be on those properties. The median home value, according to your tax assessor in San Marcos, is $110,000. So if you had only the $5,000 homestead exemption, your annual tax to ACC would be $99.33, or a little over $8 a month. If you were a senior citizen or a disabled individual with the median value, you would pay no ACC tax. If you had commercial property valued at that median rate, it would be $104. And so this is provided to help people get an idea of what the personal impact for them would be. The next slide provides a summary comparing out-of-district status with in-district status, the most obvious being if you're out-of-district, there is no campus that we will build in your community. We intend to build a campus in San Marcos that is a board-adopted goal in our board-adopted master plan. We have purchased property and accepted a donation in your community that is under contract now. We have an RFP out now for professional services to begin planning that campus. The other key difference, obviously, is very limited choices in terms of courses and in terms of certificate and degree options in your community. Most of what is offered in San Marcos is a limited array of general education courses, English, history, government, sociology, those kinds of courses. With a campus, you get a comprehensive array so that all of the general education or core curriculum, regardless of the student major, could be completed in your community. There would be a wide array of workforce programs, which I'll share in a moment. There would also be adult education and developmental education, which is not offered currently. And then finally, a wide array of support services, such as the college library, comprehensive student support services, assessment, advising, counseling, career counseling, financial aid, admissions and records, those kinds of things. We've talked about the difference in the tuition rate, the 72% lowering of tuition. And then obviously, the other big difference is you currently don't pay a tax to ACC and would, based on the following slides that I just showed you. And then finally, out-of-district residents are not able to participate in the election of trustees or running for trustees. That changes if you come into the district. In terms of curriculum and what we plan to offer, as well as support services, and again, you'll have a copy of this as you leave, I've already mentioned, again, our philosophy is that all of our campuses offer the comprehensive array of general education and core curriculum courses, adult ed, and the access and foundation programs. In terms of workforce programs, we'll bring a wide array of certificate and two-year degrees to your community. Those will include accounting, computer information technology, financial management, management, marketing, applied technologies and alternative energy. That's an area where our college is growing. Programs that we need a home for, and we would love to have them here in your community. Those will include alternative energies, fuels and power systems management, automotive technology in both diesel and alternative fuels, international business, information technology and computer technicians, computer science, and manufacturing. And then we have some identified programs for a phase two expansion of this campus in the future. These areas were largely determined from your local steering committee, but also were determined in discussions with your Chamber of Commerce and your Economic Development Corporation. And if those of you who have read your city's Partners for Progress plan, we'll see very good alignment between what your local community has identified as priority growth areas and the kinds of business and industry you hope to attract to San Marcos. The next slide is, of course, too hard to read from where you're sitting. It's just simply an illustration of where the property is. Again, we have under contract 72 acres. Our master plan guidelines for ACC typically call for us to seek land between no less than 50 acres and generally no more than 100. That's intended to allow us to have sufficient acreage to be able to grow campuses over a long period of time to continue to align with the growth of the community. This property is on Highway 123 near where we're sitting. Phase one construction will be for a little over 77,000 square feet. I shared with you earlier the net tax revenue based on your current assessments of about $1.4 million. That is what would be used to retire the purchase price of the land at $2.3 million and also to fund basically a construction budget of around $42 million to create the Phase 1 campus. So in summary, it's about getting a comprehensive campus with a comprehensive array of higher education and training opportunities to fit the diversity within your community. It's about getting affordable access to higher education so that many more people can take advantage of going to college. It's about a strengthened relationship between your school district and the college. While we have a very strong relationship now, by having a larger menu of programs and services here, we will be able to continue to expand the early college start options and the tech prep programming here. And again, it's about enhancing economic development. Your Partners for Progress report calls for a comprehensive community college campus. Many community groups have endorsed that economic development strategy in your community. The last chart provides you links to other information, and I know obviously in a public hearing there are some people here who are already in favor of this, there are some who are not, and there are some who are trying to make up their mind. And so what we've tried to do is provide you some additional information. There's a link to ACC's master plan, so if you don't have a good feel for what ACC is about and what our core goals are as a college, this is a document that's easy to read. It also provides links to a wealth of demographic information. The next one is a link to the State Closing the Gaps Initiative, which talks about the challenge facing Texas and certainly facing your community, and that is too few people graduating from high school, too few of those going into higher education, and creating a lack of a qualified workforce to attract the kind of business and industry that pays well and that does not harm the environment. The other is, the last three are external studies, research studies on the return on investments in community college taxes. One study, Texas Works, was done by Comptroller Susan Combs. If you've not read that study, I encourage you to look at that at some point. With that, I'm going to close the background information. That's the overview of the service plan. I'm going to turn it back to Trustee Kaplan, and then we'll start the citizens' communication portion.
Thank you, Dr. Kinslow. Okay, we're to the point where we'd like to hear from the public. As I said, we have 14 speakers signed up, and if I would ask that the speakers try to adhere to the three-minute limit. As I see that, that's 12. That's about 50 minutes, right? So we'd like to get through as quickly as we can, so we have some time to visit with you after the formal public hearing. That being said, I'd ask that all the speakers be respectful of the board and each other. And as I said, Trustee Sosa will have a green, yellow, red light over there that will be keeping track of the time. And if you stand at that podium, you'll be able to see it rather easily. I don't know if you can see it as well from the mic. With
she'll hold those up.
Okay. Well. Okay, and she'll also hold up some cards to help you gauge your time. With that, I'd like to begin the public comment section, and I will call the names in the order that they were signed in. We'll start with Kim Porterfield. Thank you, Council Member.
Thank you. I'd like to spend, welcome to San Marcos, by the way. We're glad that y'all are here for a meeting. And I'd like to spend part of my time reading a letter on the behalf of San Marcos Manufacturers Association, whose members were not able to be here. And hopefully I'll have a little bit more time to tell you how I feel about this. The San Marcos Manufacturers Association, founded in 1981, represents 17 manufacturers that employ approximately 2,800 in San Marcos. Many SMMA members serve on the boards of various community and civic organizations and are committed to the betterment of San Marcos and Hays County. SMMA actively supports economic development for San Marcos and works as a team to improve the working conditions, environment, and quality of life for new and existing industries. Education and business go hand in hand. Not only do companies want to draw from an educated pool of workers, they want to offer their employees a great place to raise a family. Higher education institutions offer companies a source to recruit new talent, as well as a partner in research and development. Manufacturing is in the recovery mode, and for the most part, headcounts have stabilized. Inventories have been reduced and are optimized, and productivity has increased. To support this increase, the need for a qualified, educated workforce is paramount to that to continued and future success. The SMMA believes an ACC campus will support emerging needs and the excellence required to sustain economic development and prosperity. Therefore, the SMMA extends its support for annexation in the ACC service plan in San Marcos. And you'll recall that SMMA was involved in helping develop the service plan for San Marcos. And then I'd like to thank the ACC staff for working with us to develop the service plan so that our campus will be what we need for our citizens in our region. San Marcos, ACC will be a natural fit for San Marcos, I believe. We want lower tuition and an ACC campus in San Marcos. San Marcos's legacy is one of education. From the mid-19th century, when Texans living along the Gulf Coast fleeing malaria sent their children to the Cornell Institute, to 1907 when townspeople founded the San Marcos Baptist Academy, education has been a vital part of San Marcos. The San Marcos City Council had that vision in mind in 1888 when it deeded acreage to the state of Texas for the normal school. That has become Texas State University, the rising star of Texas, and one of our community's greatest assets. But times have changed. An Austin Community College campus in San Marcos is the missing link our community needs to raise the quality of life, expand the middle class, and develop an educated workforce to help attract good businesses and expand the ones we have. I'd also like to mention the service plan. We're excited about the opportunity for the alternative energy programs that you have identified to be a part of our campus. In the paper this morning, there was a story by op-ed piece by Pike Powers and Michael Weber talking about Austin Energy becoming a hub of global clean energy economy. This isn't a pie-in-the-sky dream, according to this op-ed piece. Economics and venture capitalists agree that the clean energy industry is the single largest economic opportunity of the 21st century. I'm sure you'll read this. If you haven't, please read it. My time is up, but I just ask that you consider developing our green energy plan for our campus to include retrofitting homes, installing solar panels, and also all of the other aspects of a green alternative energy program to give our citizens good jobs to for the whole region. Thank you.
Thank you, Council Member. Juan Arredondo. Thank you, Juan.
Dr. Kinslow, Vice Chair Kaplan and ACC Board of Trustees. My name is Juan Arredondo, and I am a resident of San Marcos and a product of our local school district, having attended San Marcos CISD schools for the past 13 years. Recent graduate of San Marcos High School, where I served as student council president for 2 years. As a graduate from high school and kind of embarking on the whole college application, scholarship, financial aid process, you saw on that slide the significant difference between a community college, a four-year public institution, and a four-year private institution. And just those numbers alone overwhelmed me and my friends greatly through that process. And through our current relationship with San Marcos CISD and the dual credit Early College Start program, that really did give students of San Marcos that taste of what college is, and it gave us that bridge that I know a lot of us didn't have before the Early College Start program. I am the current co-chair of San Marcos Access, and through this process, being a student going to Texas State this upcoming fall, I looked at the demographics of our community, the graduation rates of our high school, the partnership with ACC Now, and just the potential growth that the relationship that we've had for the past couple years, that I'm not sure if it was the New York Times, but I know whenever dual enrollment and Early College Start happened, it gained national attention. So like Kim said, the history in San Marcos of education is a great one, and if annexation does pass in November, I know it could only offer positive things for the San Marcos community. Thank you.
Thank you, Juan. The next speaker is Guadalupe Carkeppel. Do I got that close?
Carbajal.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. I would have gotten involved in this election coming up a lot sooner, but 3 years ago, whatever, we had a little glitch in trying to get this thing going. Obviously, it was a screw-up. You know, that's what they call it in my business. But being said that we're going to have an election in November, I decided to get involved and to see what this is all about. I said, there's got to be a lot to this, the pros, the cons. So let me look into this. So I joined an organization to hear what they had to say, what was the problem with this election. And there's a lot of problems with it. But a couple of problems that are very dear to me is one of representation. We in San Marcos are probably never going to have an elected trustee. They're going to outvote us every time. If we need something, we're going to have an election, and we're going to have the election for the whole district. That encompasses Round Rock, Leander, everywhere else. They don't know our needs. You know, what are we doing getting involved with someone who will not afford us the representation that we need? The second thing that is very dear to me is the school district of San Marcos, a little over 7,000. We are very concerned, 200, 300, 400, we don't really know from San Marcos school district, not the kids that live on campus that have a San Marcos address. If we pass this election, there will be taxes. Okay? We will be indebted. $300 million, we are responsible for what? It'll be 16% of that $300 million. We're proportionally responsible for that debt. But getting back to the school district. The school district is going to try to balance their budget probably next month. They're going to have a hard time. Times are difficult. If hopefully they will raise our taxes, but if they do, it's just to balance the budget. If they need more money, heaven forbid, people are going to say more taxes. What if we need more schools in San Marcos for, let's say, 7,500 people? Are we willing to pass another bond election and get more in debt so that our money can go to Austin and they'll tell us what to do with our money? It's not a good deal for us. We need to look, and there's lots of things. But as a taxpayer, I'm telling you, this is not good when you have no representation, when you're taking on debt. You don't want to marry anybody that owes a lot of money. Let me tell you that. So this marriage will last forever. But I'm going to tell you one last thing. There are alternatives. We can form our own district. The law allows it. And if you don't believe me, just call Marlboro Falls, and they'll tell you how to get out of this thing and do your own thing. And we can do that. We don't have to become, send our money to Austin. Austin is already weird. We want no part of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Guadalupe. The next speaker is Alon Shell.
I am Lon Shell. I've been in this community a long time. My children graduated from San Marcos High School. I retired from the university. My whole family's been in education. I'm a strong advocate for education, but I like for it to be responsible. And I think some of the things that I see here with what ACC has done has not proved to me that they are concerned that much about San Marcos. I've looked at the service plan and tried to discern some of the things that has been provided, and some of those are good. But at the same time, I'm more concerned about some of the technical career programs, the workforce programs. I don't see that being emphasized. It hasn't been emphasized here at all. I think ACC should step up and do more than they've done. If they're interested in this community, they could have been doing a lot more than they've done. They're teaching a bunch of academic courses and remedial courses. Very few, if I think only two or three, what I would consider to be vocational technical courses. Looking at the surrounding areas and some of the programs that surround us, Central Texas over here at New Braunfels and others, they've done an outstanding program in this area. We've got some outstanding laboratories and outstanding technical programs. I don't see ACC stepping up the plate and providing those kinds of programs. Why don't we have some things like nursing, robotics, machine shop, air conditioning, welding, electricity, CAD? I don't see any of those things. And I suspicion that probably they're too expensive. And so I think, yes, those would be available to our students to go to Austin or Round Rock or elsewhere to take. But I don't see those being taught here in San Marcos on our campus. And there's some reasons why they shouldn't be, because there's some programs real close to us that already have those kinds of programs. So why would we want to do that? I really think the other concern that I've had is why our schools haven't been more involved with the vocational technical career programs. We should have been doing more in our San Marcos district. We built a brand new high school out here and provided very few labs in technical programs. A lot of the programs that ACC suggests they're going to teach could be taught in our high schools. And I think would impact our dropout rate very significantly, especially some of the career programs. So I would like to see the money stay here. I would like to see the kinds of articulation programs that some of the other universities have. Certainly we have some articulation programs here. I think ACC could do the right thing without us being in their taxing district. I would like to have seen them shown us that before now.
Thank you, Lon. The next speaker is Andrew Gary, and after Mr. Gary will be Louise Pettigrew.
My name is Andrew Gary. I'm a local resident and been here a long time, and I am a member of a committee that's called CARE, S-M-C-I-S-D, and that CARE stands for Citizens Advocating Responsible Education, San Marcos ISD. The priority of this committee is to, the first number one priority of this committee, and that's where we differ somewhat to your priority, is a K-1 through 12 education. We feel like our number one priority is not higher education, but is to the students, the children that are raised in our community. We don't oppose ACC's current operation in San Marcos. We don't oppose enlarging that current operation. But we do oppose anything that subordinates the interests of our public school children to higher education. We just think that's not our number one priority. Now, because I am the oldest practicing lawyer in San Marcos, the committee has appointed me or directed me to address the legal implications of this annexation to the San Marcos property owners. Who is the obligor and who is the obligee is what they call it on that thing. Well, the obligor is the San Marcos property owners. The obligee is ACC. It's not a level playing field. ACC is a huge educational business. It has 3,100 plus employees, 235, I think the recent figure, a million annual budget, multi-campuses, over 37,000 students. It's a member of a large state lobby for community colleges. It's involved in its own lobby at Austin. It has a large law firm with a substantial retainer, and its Austin base has a Friends of ACC, Austin base PAC, which supports it, and it has the Austin public and the Austin media supports ACC. We understand that, but here we are, San Marcos property owners. What do we have comparable? It's none of the above. Now, the obligation of the main part, and Mr. Carver Hall is talking about one of these things, but what you are asking the San Marcos property owners to do is to agree to something that no member of this board of directors would agree to on behalf of ACC. You're asking us to agree to annexation, which results in San Marcos property owners having a perpetual, non-refundable legal obligation to annually extract millions of dollars from our economy for the benefit of ACC, this mega business, and be jointly liable for all ACC indebtedness under the sole control and authority of the trustees, which are going to be elected by Austin voters from any time in the foreseeable future, and with no recourse and no right to terminate for any reason. Now, the trustees of ACC would never, I don't think you could legally enter into that type of legal obligation if you turn to the other side of the coin, where you would be agreeing to send that much money and make that obligation on a perpetual basis with no recourse and no right to terminate. That's all I've got, except I do have some questions here that I'd like to present for y'all's consideration, and you can answer them in your...
If you'd give that to Trustee Sosa.
Some of you've answered here that I haven't seen. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Gary. We now have Louise Pettigrew, followed by Griffith Spell.
Hi, my name's Louise Pettigrew. And I was asked to speak by CAD, which is Kids Against Drug, with the San Marcos Housing Authority. I live in one of the housing authorities. I don't currently pay taxes. I'm a single mother. I'm a student. I'm an employee. I'm fairly new to San Marcos, but I hope to make this my home for a long time. I'm a student at Texas State University, but if it wasn't for ACC, I wouldn't be who I am or where I am today. Now, I didn't go into ACC when I was 18. I didn't start the early education. I went in and I graduated when I was 50 years old. I know about hardships. I'm what they consider circumstantial poverty. It was circumstances it wasn't born into, which can affect anybody. ACC, I was president of the Honor Society there. I looked at it as a stepping stone. There was no way under the situation I was in I could look at a four-year college, not financially, not emotionally, but I was allowed to go to ACC. Dr. Kinslow was there when I was there. I went in, I took the general studies degree, I got an associate's degree, and decided at that point I needed to move on and came down to San Marcos. It's a beautiful town, a beautiful community, and a beautiful campus. I'll be graduating next spring, and I'm going to go on to get my master's in family and consumer sciences. So I haven't had a lot of time to research this. I was only asked last night to speak. So I'm really here. I didn't prepare a speech. I'm here to speak for the heart and tell you that I don't even need to tell you what ACC can do because Dr. Kinslow did such a good job. And I did read a little bit about it. As far as the taxes, it doesn't sound like a whole lot of money to invest in the future of the city. I have a 10-year-old that I hope I'm going to be able to afford to go to college, and ACC is probably the only way to do it. When I first started, I was actually out of district because I lived on Wells Branch, even though I was in Austin, and it was just almost impossible to be able to afford the out-of-district fees. I'm now president of the Residents Assembly where I live, so I'm very involved there with the kids. I'm president of the Recreation, Association for the Recreation Majors, so I've come a long ways. For me, it's a matter of becoming self-sufficient, and I think y'all can see that in your community as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Pettigrew. We now have Griffith Spell, followed by Ms. Dorothy David.
Thank you. My name is Griffin Spell, and first off, let me thank you for letting me speak here tonight. I was originally planning on asking some questions, getting some feedback. I've been told that's not possible at this time. If you don't mind, I'll just ask these questions to the floor because I believe they're fairly important things we have to ask ourselves before we vote in this referendum. First off, I'm concerned about the permanence of this proposal. Essentially, once we are ignorant, assuming the resolution passes, we are not going to be allowed to leave. Not only is ACC not going to want us to leave, it simply isn't legal for us to do. We're stuck with y'all. And while, you know, maybe it might work out for the first 5 or 6 years even, you know, this is a permanent solution. It's going to be something that's going to affect our city for 20, 30, 50 years, on and on. The $3 million, which is proposed, what they're going to be taking out of San Marcos to ACC, is only the beginning. As the city grows, as San Marcos CISD grows, that $3 million is going to go up. How much of that money is going to be coming and then going to ACC and then coming back to San Marcos? How much of it is going to be coming from San Marcos to Austin and then not coming back to San Marcos? How much of it is going to go to Austin? How much is going to Round Rock? How much is going to Leander? How much is essentially coming out and then not coming back? You know, I understand. I'm a college student myself. I understand just how important a community college like this can then be for people, how lower tuition can help. But I think we've got to ask ourselves some questions. I'm personally concerned with the referendum language that's going to be on the bill. I know y'all can't change it at this point. I think it leaves a lot of questions to answer. I think people need to realize what they're voting on, all the costs, all the benefits, realize it is a tax increase, it is permanent, it is something. Yes, we're going to be able to vote in y'all's elections, but realistically, we're not that big. We're not going to be able to overpower Austin. We're probably not going to have anybody from San Marcos on the ACC board for probably a long time, if ever. I know we can't change the language on there, but I think we've got to make sure voters know what they're getting, what they're going to get. I think the League of Women's Voters, I'm hoping, is going to be able to publish information, and we're just going to have to talk about this. It's a very big decision. Realize we're a little skeptical right now. We're going to ask questions. We're going to want to talk to y'all. We're going to want to know, you know, what's it going to look like? You know, is that campus that's going to be in San Marcos, is that something y'all are absolutely fully committed to, or is it something y'all, you know, can come back out of in January or February once this resolution passes or doesn't pass? Thank you.
Thank you, Griffith. We now have Ms. Dorothy David, followed by Steve Bowles. Ms. David?
Thank you, Dr. Kinslow, board members. Welcome to San Marcos. Heard a lot of good things tonight already. My name is Dorothy David, and I'm currently a pre-nursing student at ACC. I have a bachelor's degree, but decided to enroll at ACC to study nursing in order to get a good paying job. I also work part-time, and this past spring, I drove to Austin 4 days a week for classes. For obvious reasons, I would love for there to be an ACC campus in San Marcos. A San Marcos campus means more classes and programs could be offered to assist people like me, non-traditional students seeking improvement in workforce skills to get a better job. Currently, the types of classes and programs offered now in San Marcos are very limited, and there are few workforce education programs. A local campus and less costly tuition would enable many underemployed and unemployed residents to gear up for new jobs. Many of us in San Marcos have been following this issue with great interest, volunteering to stuff envelopes and block walking to obtain signatures, all on our own time without any kind of financial reward. I followed the stories online on the ACC webpage, the San Marcos Daily Record, and the San Marcos Local News, formerly known as News Streams. I read with great interest the comments after each story, both pro and con. One comment that particularly struck me was that Austin is only 30 minutes away, and San Marcos students could just drive 20 miles down the road. I did not want to get in a debate on those chat forums, but from where I live near I-35 at Center Point Road to the William Cannon exit is 30 minutes, going the speed limit, assuming there's no traffic jams. Then one has to continue driving to whichever ACC campus has your class, find parking, and extra time looking for disabled parking, walk to the building, maneuver through the building, or wait forever for the elevator at Pinnacle, and finally get to your classroom. This takes considerably longer than 30 minutes and is more than 20 miles. An ACC campus in San Marcos would be so much more accessible, especially for non-traditional and physically challenged students of any age. About 30% of San Marcos residents' highest educational attainment is a high school diploma. These residents will especially benefit from a more affordable, accessible ACC campus, earning certificates and degrees that lead directly to higher paying jobs. Community colleges are better able to respond to needs of local business and industry. Witness the recent opening of the Hays County Seton Hospital, the Regent Care Center in San Marcos, and the plans to open another hospital in New Braunfels right on I-35. Our current employers will benefit from the ability to work with ACC to create comprehensive instructional programs and support services locally. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Ms. David. The next speaker is Steve Bowles, followed by Herod Ellison, I think.
Hi, everybody. I'm Steve Bowles, and I really have two questions that I think ACC owes the citizens of Hays County an answer to. But let me refresh your memory. About 5 years ago, ACC held a petition drive to get on the ballot in Hays County. And after ACC trustees signed off on this ballot, it was determined that 80% of the signatures were forged. My two questions are, was anybody held accountable for this? And my second question is, what steps has ACC taken to assure us that this hasn't occurred in this last petition drive? And I think you owe us that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bowles. Herod Ellison, followed by Ted Behan had to leave. So the following speaker would be Jerry Whitus, I think. Thank you.
You probably won't believe this, but I've had a few minor struggles in my lifetime, just a few. Let me tell you a little bit about my background. I came from a family of migrant workers from the cotton fields of West Texas, raised in a family of six. I'm number four in that family of six. And the only way that I saw out of that kind of poverty was education. It took the affordable classes that I took at San Antonio College to get me on a path. I spent 20-some-odd years working in communications, very poorly paid, a career that was going nowhere, making millions of dollars for the corporations that I work for, finally having an epiphany, if you will, and I realized that there was something more to life than that. So the only route that I took was going back to school. That was the only option that I had. I wasn't going to go out and do construction work. I wasn't going to go build any homes or anything like that. But what I could do was build a life for myself and use that life to help others. Affordable education is critical to the economic growth and development of any city. And it empowers individuals just like myself and just like those others out there who are not as well educated, who can have those opportunities if a college like ACC is here in San Marcos. San Antonio College started me on my path, and after that, in 2001, I graduated with a master's degree from Southwest Texas State University. I'm currently working for public housing, enabling people in public housing to get education, enabling people in public housing to do community service, enabling people in public housing to get jobs, weeding through the Social Security maze that it is designed to confuse and delay individuals who actually need support. Education is the way out of this. And we have to also look at the disposable income that education affords one. There's going to be a lot of disposable income floating around when you educate the populace of San Marcos. That disposable income will be able to be used to pay those taxes. We can't afford to live in the past anymore. We have to look towards the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Ellison. The next speaker is, I believe, Jerry Whitus. Followed by Nina Wright.
Hello, my name is Jerry Whitus. I'm a new resident of San Marcos. I came here about 3 years ago. I'm a retired teacher. My second career was teaching English as a second language in universities in the United States and also abroad, in Singapore and in Japan. I taught with Texas A&M University there. My last 8 years was with Community College in Dallas, Richland College in Dallas, Texas, part of the Dallas County Community College District. And I can tell you, teaching in both environments, in university environments and junior college environments, or community college, or junior college when I was coming up, in community college environments, what a great opportunity is, and what a great education students can get, especially students who maybe are not ready for the university environment yet. They need one more step before they can step up to the university. They need that another year or two of maturity. Community colleges offer that. They offer students a way to bridge that gap and to get two more years of maturity with them, behind them. I also, through a USAID grant, I taught in Vietnam in one of the first community colleges that the government of Vietnam had developed there. And I can tell you that in Vietnam, community colleges are becoming more and more part of their education system because they see the great value of those 2 years for their students. So I think if people in Vietnam can see what a great thing community colleges can be, I think maybe we should think about that as we look at our San Marcos citizens look at what we have here and what community colleges can offer us.
Thank you, Mr. Whitus. The next speaker is Nina Wright, followed by Stuart Dale Spencer.
Thank you. That's remarkable. Almost no one says my name first. Says my name correctly the first time. I'm not a public speaker, so I hope everybody will be patient if I stumble over my words. But I think it's really great that we have this opportunity to dialogue. I know that there are a lot of people here who have brought up points that I think are very important, and I've been listening very closely to. Would I like to have ACC services without paying taxes? Yes, definitely. I would always like something without paying for it. Would I like to have representation for us guaranteed? Yes, I would like that. I'm afraid if we wait for the proposal to be absolutely perfect, though, we may miss out on this opportunity again. Is K-12 a priority? Yes, it definitely is. But I would like for those of you who have those concerns to also think about some additional factors. One of those is an alarming fact to me, which, I mean, I work in education, so you would think maybe I would have known this earlier, but it was only a couple of months ago that I came across the information that we have turned the corner, the point where the younger generation is now becoming the less educated than their parents. So if you think about that, that's happening at a time when the demand for higher education is greater in terms of being able to handle the kinds of, or to have the kinds of skills and knowledge that are needed in the workplace. You know, the state of Texas set some goals in 2000 called the Closing the Gaps goals that were mentioned. In 2000, we had about 1 million students in higher education, and the goal is to get 1.6 million by 2015. Some people thought that was really an ambitious goal. We're really on track to achieve that, but the Governor's Business Council thinks that that's not enough, and these are businessmen. There are, I would say to, or I would ask Mr. Carbajal and others who share his concerns about taxes, because I know there are a lot of us that share those concerns, that there are the economic benefits to be considered. And students who get a higher education are going to have higher salaries. Part of that means that they're going to pay more tax, but they're also going to use fewer social services that are supplied by tax dollars. They're going to be less likely to be unemployed when we have economic downturns like we're in right now. They're more likely to vote. They're more likely to volunteer. So there are definite benefits besides those economic benefits. 60% of the students in higher education in Texas today are in community colleges. We cannot not participate in that kind of success. I know a lot of people have mentioned, but in these times especially, the affordability is very important. Tuitions are going out of control at higher education, or especially at four-year institutions, but family income is not rising in Texas. The graduation rates, if any of you wonder, the graduation rates of students who attend community colleges and then transfer to four-year institutions is just as good as those who start at the four-year institutions. So I would just say thank you to the ACC board for what you're doing. Whatever you can do to address concerns that have been raised here, I would hope that you will. And I thank everybody for engaging in this dialogue.
Thank you, Ms. Wright. The next speaker is Stuart Dale Spencer. Mr. Spencer?
Thank you for the opportunity to speak, and I want to primarily address my comments to the audience that's here. Before I forget, I do want to echo the sentiments of one of the speakers who said that they feel it's very important that here in San Marcos, if an ACC campus is built, that it needs to offer some of the more advanced courses and the kinds of vocational training and things that are available in the other campuses, so students are still not stuck with having to travel all the way to Austin for some of those things, and that's an important goal of ours. And another thing I'd like to point out, and we're all concerned about taxes, I am a property owner in the San Marcos School District, and I look at my tax bill, and I look at things like the school district, which is the 800-pound gorilla on my tax bill, and things like roads and fire, which are minuscule compared to that, and the ACC bill would be in that league. It's a movie and a popcorn without a drink once a month. So let's just be realistic about what we're talking about here, how it affects the individual. Mostly I want to be concerned about the fact that since 1993, I have been working in public housing, and since 2005, I have been working in community educational programs working with Mexican immigrants. So I've worked with both the local public housing population on welfare benefits and a local immigrant population who are all striving toward the same goal. They want to realize the American dream. They want to get ahead, and they work really hard to do that. The stumbling block is always access to affordable education and training. So even for immigrants, once they learn English, it's really hard to get up to Austin. And they can't make the leap to Texas State University. For the local people who have been on welfare, who are always told, you need to get off welfare, you need to get off welfare. But how are the opportunities to do that? It's really, really hard when there are no affordable training programs available in your community. And as one of the other speakers noted, they're not all 18-year-olds. Not everybody has a great car. Many people have children. It's really hard to be up in Austin attending a class, and your kids are here in school in San Marcos. They get sick, you get a call, you got to leave. And then the very worst thing I want you to be thinking about is what happens to people when they become desperate and they want to get a good education, they want training, and they fall prey to the proprietary schools that have all the great ads on TV and they promise you the sky. And what they really do is they rob you blind. They leave you hanging, they don't provide any support. And I can't tell you how many people have come into our family self-sufficiency program who have been down that road, promised these wonderful jobs with training certificates that will get them maybe a $10 an hour job. And if you're a single parent, $10 an hour isn't going to get you out of welfare. And so unfortunately, that's the reality we deal with. So we're trying to help people. We have people that want to get off welfare, and we want to help them to do that. So I thank you very much, and I hope you'll all support it.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer. The board will entertain others who might have not signed up yet and would like to speak to the board and address the board. Anybody like to do that? Please step forward. I see. We need to have an official record.
Yes, my name is Mary Gonzalez, and I live close to the area on where the proposed school is going to be for ACC if the election passes. And yeah, there is one question I would have, is that is it a guarantee that we will always have presence here in San Marcos from ACC? As we will, as far as the facility is concerned, as we will, you know, being in the tax district. Yeah, that has to be answered. If it's always going to be there, you know, that's a legitimate concern. There's a lot of legitimate concerns made against it, but one of them isn't the increase of tax, because everything seems to increase our tax. And unfortunately, unlike the previous speaker who was concerned about immigrants and stuff, I come from an old family, and I'm probably older than most of y'all here. And mine dates back to 1857. And I believe that many of the people locally that came here to this nation a long, long, long time ago, and their parents died, and their forefathers died, and life went on. They didn't come here with the promises of health insurances, you know, to have free health insurance, or, you know, being able to go into a hospital and be taken care of, whether you're legal or not legal. They came here, and they, without any promises, and they did it. And unfortunately, many people had to die, and many lived a slavery life of their own. And And I've seen a lot of these people and knocked on their doors and their offsprings, and many of them died without an education. And then they had children, and they all finished the, many of them went through our local school system, and some of them finished, some of them didn't. And then years have passed by, and their grandchildren are here, and in the same poverty situation. Education is needed, and I truly believe in that. And if people who really profess believing that for themselves should believe it for others. But first, you know, I would like to see a system that it's going to take care of our own first, and not people from other lands that are here illegally. You know, just recently, I mean, I just want to put into perspective that just recently I saw a person that was not a legal resident ask for a job at a local establishment. But he wasn't asking for a job, he was asking for a signature to claim unemployment. That's happening all over the place. Unfortunately, our system has allowed the failures that have made some gaps incredible for the people who have really worked for this land and have played by the rules. And fast forwarding to 2010, we need our children to have a better education. And it doesn't matter what it takes. I don't care if I ever, and you know, currently I have a health plan of my own, but I don't use it half the time because there's the uncertainty of it. I don't care. I don't care if I die. But I do want to see that my children have a good education. And I think we have earned that right. And I think that the people who are afraid to pay that higher tax are kind of they lose me, because it's really not about that. You're paying it, and we're all paying it, and they're not seeing any benefits. Going back to a very long time ago, the poor has been used in this area, and they have not seen the benefits of it. I will be a soldier out there to pass this. Not because it makes sense in every perspective, especially that I see here there are legitimate concerns that are being said here. However, you know, an education is very important, and I don't see our local school district having addressed that and having closed that gap. It's been doing a very poor job at that, and I don't see any other program coming up to close that gap. And because of that, I'm really angered about the situation where we are today. So, yes, you will have me as a person that will be working for this effort. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Zamala. Did I see another speaker?
Didn't make it here in time to sign in. But you said we could speak, and sometimes you got to be careful what you ask for, but here it goes. I am a member of, like several individuals in here, of an organization that's very, very concerned about what's going on here with ACC. And let's just cut through it. This is nothing but a tax grab as we perceive it. ACC, big business. Perhaps it's best evidenced by the introduction that Mr. Kinslow got. Part of his title was CEO, President and CEO. It is nothing but business. It's nothing but a tax grab for the citizens of Hayes County. San Marcos, we've heard these concerns, and they're legitimate concerns. We're not going to have any control whatsoever. We heard it, I believe, from Mr. Spell and from several other individuals. We're going to be non-existent. We're going to be shelling out money. This is nothing but a reverse Robin Hood for the citizens of San Marcos. Our money's going to Austin. Sure, there might be some promise of a campus built here. And if a campus ever is built here, we need to realize something. All we're going to be doing, fewer than 1% of San Marcos students will be comprise the total body of the ACC student population. 95%+ of the students that attend ACC, if they ever build a campus here, are going to be Texas State students from Duncanville and from Pine Tree and West Texas and things like that. They're going to be going to ACC because they perceive it to be an easy, cheap A to get their basics out of the way. And as does the university, and that's why the university's behind this, because they don't make money, as we know, Mr. Kinslow, on lower level classes. And that's why Texas State is pushing this off also and getting behind it. Reverse Robin Hood. This is nothing but y'all coming in, taking our money for us to pay for kids from Duncanville to come in here and get a couple of easy classes out of the way, basics at ACC. And Mr. Bowles, I concur with you. Absolutely. Violation of the election process. That's the thing that separates us from other citizens and other nations, is the right to vote. That's the reason people got on a boat and floated over here hundreds of years ago. That's what separates us from everybody else, is the election process. And the most heinous of all things was perpetrated, and people knew about it, and all we got from CEO Kinslow was a bunch of denials and excuses. Nothing in the way of an apology to the good citizens of this county. I do appreciate y'all didn't go out to the cemetery this time to gather signatures, okay, by extending your own deadline to get legitimate signatures, but come on now. Now, and these basics that we know and you know are not going to be taken by San Marcos students, but Duncanville students going to Texas State, that's best evidenced by, as one of the speakers brought out, the absolute absence of vocational training. Why is there vocational training at all the other campuses, but not in San Marcos? I wonder. Well, because students from Duncanville and Pine Tree and Longview that go to Texas State aren't interested in taking body shop. They want to take chemistry so they don't have to take it on the Hill and get a C and pay more money. That's what this is about. $3 million tax indebtedness right now. As pointed out by Mr. Spell, that's going to go up and up and up and up. $3 million currently. I've got a solution if y'all are so concerned about the 30 or 40 San Marcos students that want to attend ACC. We can stick them in a limousine, curbside service, drive them up to ACC, pay for their tuition, books, fees, meals, and heck, even buy them a 12-pack on the way home and deliver them curbside, and we'll still save $2.5 million a year. If we're really concerned about it, let's just admit what it really is. It's nothing but a tax grab. Speaking to y'all, that's not going to do any good. Speaking to y'all, we got to dig in and fight this thing. A reverse Robin Hood isn't going to fly here.
Thank you. I didn't get your name. You need a sign. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank Mayor. You. Good evening. I'm Susan Narvaez, Mayor of San Marcos. I want to thank first the local ACC committee for making it possible for the citizens to vote on this issue, because that's who's going to decide this issue, is the people that are going to choose whether to tax themselves or not for this benefit. So I thank you for that hard work. On March 7, 2010, Resolution 2010-30R was unanimously passed by the San Marcos City Council, also to support this initiative. Also in 2010, the Partners in Progress Plan, which as you mentioned earlier, was one of the key elements of this, was that we must be a part of the ACC district. That was also adopted unanimously in favor by the San Marcos City Council. Each council member voting their conscience and loudly proclaiming aye on each of these issues. And while we are not often all on the same page on important and serious issues, we were on this one. I want to thank you for expanding the current automotive program. We've had great success there, and I know that local companies that need automotive techs to learn the updated technology on the cars that run on our roads today are grateful for your work with them to produce the skills that they need. When I work with economic development prospects, the questions always come down to workforce. We've lost several prospects because although we have a wonderful university, they know that it's a community college that will work with them to endeavor to get the skills they need. And when I can't do my job as mayor to deliver several thousand jobs that would have lifted our medium income to $40,000 to $50,000, and this is the answer, then it's the answer. And so I appreciate that we have this opportunity to address that. Over the last 8.5 years as an elected official, I have watched our funding of social services grow each year. And while I'm a big fan of helping others, I think that that is best done by the citizens and organizations that are put together with passionate people, but it's a great need in our community, and that also speaks to the fact that our tax dollars are going to have to be used to address this issue if we don't use them to address the other issue. So I appreciate the opportunity to give others the opportunity to learn skills so that they can go out and earn a great living and then contribute back in helping those that need a hand up. They don't want to give people a hand out. They're just trying to give people a hand up. As a leader in the community, I often look at the issue very broadly, and I think all the points have been made, and I think they were good. But I also know, as an elected official, a lot of time things are said to get that headline. So I want to say, especially to Dr. Kinslow, that I apologize that the people believe that you had anything to do with what occurred several years ago, because those of us that are in the know that it was our local committee that had the problem, and that when you found out about it, you pulled the issue. And I know that doesn't get reported accurately, but that is a fact. And so it was ACC that made the decision to wait. And I'm glad, because San Marcos gets a chance this time to do it right. And the committee did it right, and the citizens can do it right. Whatever that is, right can be its failure or its passing, but it's at the hands of the citizens because we give them that opportunity. So I appreciate that. As a leader, I also know that we can sit around and envision, but we have to plant at some point. And this is our opportunity to plant. So I thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for a very interesting public hearing. With that, let me remind you that the board and Dr. Kinslow and some of our staff is here, our Executive Vice President for College Operations, Mary Hensley, our Associate Vice President for Finance, Budget, et cetera, Neil Vickers. Pat Stubb is the board's executive assistant. And somewhere in the back of the room is the special assistant for external affairs, Linda Young. And with that, the public hearing of the Austin Community College District Board of Trustees is adjourned at 8:12 on Thursday, July 15th, 2010. Thank you all again for attending the hearing.